China cuts some tariffs. I'm David Brancaccio. China today said it is cutting in half tariffs on $75 billion worth of goods imported from the U.S. This is in line with the Phase 1 U.S.-China deal signed last month. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani reports from Singapore.
China had committed to buying $200 billion worth of American goods over 2 years. But even before the virus outbreak, economists were doubtful whether Beijing would be able to fulfill those commitments because of the sheer volume of what it was expected to buy. China is expected to suffer from sluggish consumer demand now because of the virus outbreak. These trade reductions could help to reduce prices for Chinese consumers and allow Beijing to keep to its promise in the trade deal.
Karishma Vaswani is with our editorial partner, the BBC, complicating any new flow of goods, as she says. China's efforts to contain the coronavirus, while workers in some key regions of China have been expecting to return to their jobs starting on Monday, some business executives our China correspondent has been speaking with say there is a chance they stay closed for longer. Dow and NASDAQ futures are up 0.4% now. The S&P future is up 0.3%. Crude oil is up 1% in New York, with OPEC extending talks on perhaps cutting supply given the effect of coronavirus on the world economy. As state and local governments get into the season of budgeting, there is an instructive case in California, home of the biggest public pension system in the U.S. Taxpayer money is needed to make good on pension promises to government workers. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
For every dollar California public agencies pay in wages this year, those employers will have to fork over another 25 cents on average to CalPERS, the state pension fund, to cover benefits for retirees. For public safety workers, like police and firefighters, the contribution is nearly 50 cents on the dollar, says CalPERS CEO Marcy Frost.
Over the next few years for our public employers, the rates will increase, and then they will begin to flatten out.
CalPERS is still trying to make up for market losses in the Great Recession and expects lower returns from its investments in the future. Pension systems nationwide face similar problems, says Jean-Pierre Aubry at Boston College's Center for Retirement Research, partly because of demographics.
In America, generally, we're graying, and we have more retirees. And so we're at a point right now where there's lots of cash flow pressure because lots of benefits are being paid out.
The forecast improves over the next decade as the baby boomers age and less generous pension plans for younger workers kick in. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to Econ Extra Credit, where I go back to basics, revisiting key economic themes each week. Today, a handy reminder that just because two things happen in tandem does not mean one caused the other. I'm just wrapping up chapter one of an open source intro economics textbook that you can get for free. And one focus is what caused economic growth to go from flat since forever to then, in the 1800s, to sharply angle upward like the blade of a hockey stick. Homa Zarghami is an economics professor at Barnard College who teaches from that textbook. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I've been obsessing reading this first chapter. There's this thing, the hockey stick. It's a graph, but it's shaped like a hockey stick lying flat, and the blade goes shooting upward there on the right side of the graph. What's the significance?
That's trying to show how living standards on average have changed over the last 1,000 years.
Super flat for the long handle of the hockey stick.
Exactly.
Like a long time.
Quite a long time. So at least 600-700 years for the country that first took off in growth.
Until the blade of the hockey stick, this inflection upward, around the time of the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s.
Exactly. So the first country to take off is Britain, and you see this exponential growth starting in the 17th century or so.
And more people start crawling out of poverty at this point with the Industrial Revolution. But why is this sudden turn toward growth after so long with no growth? Can I say that capitalism caused the shooting upward of growth that starts happening in the 19th century?
No, you may not.
This is a key point, right? This is the whole reason we're talking about this, because this idea of what causes something else is something that economics grapples with.
And even the statement, is it capitalism that causes it? Capitalism can be a factor that helps this exponential growth take place. But is it the only factor? Would it have happened in the absence of other institutions that were in place beforehand? We don't know. And in economics, this question of causal inference is a very important one.
All right. So back to the big inflection point where growth starts shooting through the roof in some countries. Capitalism could have played a role, but what possibly else could be the catalyst?
There are a couple other C words floating around for that. One is culture. So the Enlightenment precedes capitalism.
Scientific method, bringing knowledge to more people.
Exactly. And then you have colonial expansion. And colonial expansion dramatically changes the relative prices of energy, coal, and labor, and also provides these huge new markets and sets of resources to draw from.
If I bring to you a pair of graphs that look very associated, the per capita consumption of mozzarella cheese in America, it turns out it correlates very strikingly with the number of PhDs awarded in civil engineering.
Wow.
Yeah, right? The graph locks right up. So therefore, it must be the cheese causing the PhD.
Oh, I was thinking the other way, that those PhD students in civil engineering are real mozzarella lovers.
Homa Zarghami teaches economics at Barnard College. She advises a London-based nonprofit called Core Econ that does this open-source free economics text that I'm reading, a chapter a week through April. Dr. Zarghami, thank you.
Thank you.
You can participate as we get back to Econ Basics. Go to marketplace.org and on the homepage, click on the button that reads, Sign up for Econ Extra Credit. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.